Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I will not ask for a show of hands, but have you ever said, "I've talked myself blue in the face"? That's an old expression. The youngsters might have a different expression, but it means I've talked so long and you still won't listen to reason. Have you ever said or felt those words? And sometimes you gather your friends around, some sympathetic people who understand and can commiserate with you. And those are wonderful gifts to have, people who will commiserate when nobody else will listen, especially the people that you're trying to convince that the path they're taking is the wrong path, or you're trying to convince them that things are going to get better, just wait. I feel for the prophet Jeremiah because he didn't even have friends to commiserate with him. Can you imagine saying, even my close friends are watching for me to stumble? The people that he should have counted on, the people who were closest to him were watching, probably laying odds. They were all so sick and tired of hearing this man speak that the people that were closest to him said, "I'm waiting. I lay odds that he's going to stumble, and then we have him." It's a rough place to be in. When you're trying to do the right thing, when you're trying to speak the right words, when you know that God is asking you to do something, and everyone else is saying, "Just be still, be quiet, I don't want to hear it." You're a broken record. Jeremiah was saying some pretty tough things to the people when they didn't want to hear. He was telling them that the trajectory of their nation was going to fall, and they did not want to hear that. They felt he was unpatriotic because he was saying things that were truth that they did not want to hear. Have you ever been in that situation? And so Jeremiah laments, and I love his lament because he doesn't point the finger at the people. He says, "Oh Lord, you have enticed me. You have overpowered me. You have prevailed. I've become a laughingstock. It's your fault." I love reading that in the Bible because perhaps you were taught the way I was that you can't say those things to God. But you know, God is the only one that can take our anger. It's not going to upset God if we're angry. And so Jeremiah does one of these things to God, and he complains to him. But then at one point, as he's complaining and he says, "I'm not going to speak anymore. I've just had enough. I'm not saying another word." He said, "It's like a fire in my bones, and I cannot restrain myself. I have to do and say what's right." And in the middle of his diatribe, he says some words that we need to hang on to. He said, "But the Lord is with me." After he's yelling at God and telling him what for, he says, "But the Lord is with me." And he ends his diatribe to God by saying, "Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers." What do you do when no one will listen? And when you have such thorny issues and you're trying to do the right thing and it just seems like you're alone in this? I had the privilege this week of meeting a young lady who's about 30 years old. And she is a beautiful lady. She got married a couple of years ago. I had not seen her since she was about 8 or 9 years old. She is now a PhD. And she's happily married. She lives in New York City. And she came to see me a couple of days ago with her husband. They happened to be in this area. And she said to me, "Do you realize that you made such a difference in my life?" Now, that's wonderful for a pastor to hear. We don't hear that often. It just feels so good. But I remember that little girl when she came into the church at 2 years old. Her daddy brought her in. Her mother did not have much use for religion at that time, so daddy brought her. Mom came a little later. And mom came in because things were going terribly in her life. I remember that little girl at 5 at her daddy's coffin, shaking it, trying to shake it open so that daddy would come out and not be dead anymore. I remember at 8 years old, them leaving the area. I remember that that family, from the dad's illness and death, were plunged into poverty. I remember the times that the mom asked me to send letters to the senator to beg her senator to intervene because she was going to be deported and she had 2 little girls. And where she would have been deported to, they practiced genital mutilation. And she was so frightened for her daughters. And I remember having to rally the congregation and try to find ways to help this little family out. And it seemed like they were always teetering on the brink, and I would have to speak hope to them, and I'd have to go with them to different places to try to get the help. And I remember that after they left the church, they had gone to another area of Maryland to live. They kept in touch, but you know, when somebody leaves, you don't see them often. But there were so many issues in that church, people who were in need, people who were on the margins of society, that by the time they left, I was thinking of leaving too. Because it was so difficult when you thought of the grinding poverty, when you thought of the issues and public officials not really caring about the people. And who was I as a single pastor, one solitary pastor, trying to take care of these issues? I had some of my church members trying with me. And when you're trying to buck the system, it is not an easy thing. Now, there were many times that I cried out to God and said, "Why on earth do you allow this kind of injustice? And why is that little family in such trouble?" But all I could do was be faithful. You see, this one thing you have to understand. God does not ask you for results. He asks you to be faithful. He asks you to do the things that you know are right to do. Whether the whole society is wrong, it doesn't matter. You follow God's will. And what is God's will? To love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And there are so many ways to do that. He doesn't ask for results. So all I could do was try to be faithful. But there was a time where I was ready to walk out because I could see no results. We were working all the time, and people were in such tenuous circumstances. And I was not a social worker, but the social work system was broken. And so the only place that some people could come were the churches. And it was not incumbent on me to say, "Well, you know, this is a church, we're only spiritual." Jesus came for the whole person. And now I look at her, this child who lost her daddy at 5 years old, who asked me, "What was daddy like?" And she's a PhD. Her mom is thriving. Her sister is out in California working for Twitter. She must feel so proud these days. It's such a I look at the results that I could have never predicted when we were trying to keep that little family together. Because the results are in God's hands. When you read the passage that Paul read from Jesus, and he was talking about, does not a sparrow fall and the Father sees it? Something jumped out at me. I said, but the sparrow fell. He didn't say God caught the sparrow and rescued the sparrow. What he said is, I see it. I'm with you. So I have learned three things from this passage. The first one is, it's okay to complain to God. God can take it. The second thing is that we are to be faithful. And the third thing is that God is with us. We might not get rescued, but God is with us. And sometimes we might not know the results of the things we've said and the things we've done for decades, if ever. But that's in God's hands and not ours. Church of Jesus Christ, God asks us to be faithful. Let him take care of the rest. Let us pray. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God. Lord, we ask that you would keep us near to your heart, that as we do your will, whether we are rewarded or not, whether we are listened to or not, that we might be mindful that you are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.